Hi, Dan Sheridan here with Successful Savior Ministries. This is Lesson 8 in our series, The Plain Guide to Universalism, in which we're discussing what Universalists believe. Well, biblical Universalists, as we've mentioned, have various views. Some are pre-mill, some are a-mill, some are post-mill. Now, if you didn't understand those terms, don't worry about it. The point is, they have various views regarding end times teaching. Probably the best way to put it. Now, also, they also disagree in other areas, like some are Trinitarian, some aren't. And some Universalists differ as to their views regarding death. For instance, some believe that at death, people go straight to heaven. Others believe that death isn't life in another place, but believe that the only hope for the dead is resurrection. They don't believe the dead are alive. They believe the dead are dead until God raises them from the dead. The point is simply this. Christians have always disagreed on issues like these. But what Universalists have in common is simply this, that all humanity will ultimately, through the work of Christ, be made holy and happy. They believe that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. They also believe that we should live a life which adorns this doctrine, the doctrine of God our Savior, in all things. In other words, we believe in the teaching, but we also believe that the teaching has practical value to live a good life now. Now, Universalists, for the most part, do not believe in the authority of man-made creeds. Now, some like creeds. I think there's some value to creeds, but they don't consider them on equal authority with the Bible. However, it became necessary in the year 1803 for Universalists to make a public declaration of their beliefs. And here's why. The Supreme Court of New Hampshire had decreed that Congregationalists and Universalists were one and the same denomination under the law, and that Universalists were therefore liable to be taxed to support the congregational parishes. Well, that's back in those days. So, to remedy the situation, a General Convention of Universalists in session at Stafford, Vermont in 1802 appointed a committee to report a form of faith, or a doctrinal statement, as it were, to show that Universalists differed widely from Congregationalists in their views in the matter of Christian teaching. And so they did that. And then the following year, a committee reported to a session in Winchester, New Hampshire. And here was the result. It was the Winchester Profession of 1803, and I'm going to read these four lines, basically. It's very short and sweet. The Winchester Profession of 1803. Number one, we believe that the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments contain a revelation of the character of God and of the duty, interest, and final destination of mankind. Number two, we believe there is one God whose nature is love, revealed in one Lord Jesus Christ, by one Holy Spirit of grace, who will finally restore the whole family of mankind to holiness and happiness. Number three, we believe that holiness and true happiness are inseparably connected, and that believers ought to maintain order and practice good works, for these things are good and profitable unto men. And number four, we believe that God, as the moral governor of the universe, will bestow righteous and equitable rewards and punishments upon all mankind according to their several characters or deserts, but that all punishment will be remedial and consequently limited. Well, in these four statements, they sure separated themselves from Congregationalists. They agree with Congregationalists and others in America at the time that they believe in the Word of God and so forth. But with regards to the ultimate destiny of man, that's where they stood apart from the rest of society and the rest of Christian profession in America. Well, again, talk about short and sweet. It was to the point, wasn't it? And this creed was warmly welcomed because it encapsulated the barest basics. And a statement like this isn't threatening, and it wasn't intended, as a lot of creeds are, to be used as cudgels to threaten those who don't conform. All right, we're going to stop there. In our next lesson, we are going to expand what we've learned. The Winchester Profession of 1803 only had four items on it, but we're going to take a look at another creed, which was produced in 1833, the Universalist Bible Creed of 1833, that had eight articles. which encapsulate the basics of what Universalists believe. So what we're going to do over the next 8 lessons is, in each lesson, we're going to look at each of the articles, and we're going to cover in more detail the things that we hold dear. Article 1 is concerning God and Christ. We're going to learn about the character of God, the mediation of Christ, the motivations for obedience, and all kinds of other wonderful things that we hold near and dear because we believe the Word of God, and we believe this is what the Word of God teaches. So that'll be beginning in our next lesson. So 8 lessons on the basics of Universalist faith. This is Dan Sheridan with Successful Savior. Thanks for listening. And please consider supporting our work. You can do that at the website SuccessfulSavior.com. Help us to continue to get this wonderful message of the grace of God and the salvation of mankind out to the world. Until we talk again, remember this. Jesus Christ is a successful Savior.